All right, it's DanCast, episode, I think it's 63. It's a New Year's Eve DanCast, and I wondered, first of all, I wondered if I should be doing I knew I wanted to do an episode before the end of the year, I didn't know when, and now it's before the end of the year, by hours, and here I am, doing an episode. Tonight's drink is fucking bourbon. I'm drinking fucking bourbon. Pardon my language. I'd have never bought a bottle of bourbon before, and then I went to a liquor store and with my girlfriend, and it was just like, oh, I'll be a man, buy some bourbon, and then you do that thing when you don't know what the fuck you're doing. You go look it up on YouTube how to do that thing, particularly for like masculine circles. It's a lot of like dudes teaching you how to shave, and I found one of a guy who was teaching you how to drink bourbon or drink whiskey, and he's like telling you not to put too much ice, any ice. This guy likes to drink it straight. I can't do that because I'll resolve to do that in 2015. I was asked what my New Year's resolutions were, and I didn't have a good answer because I don't like the idea of New Year's resolutions. What I like is, if you want to make a change, go ahead and make the change today and don't wait till the next year. This is coming from someone who is just famous. Or not famous. He's known around the world for it. I feel as though, I'm trying to figure out how to structure my sentence. I think that I put off my own self-improvement goals so much, like things like, you know, getting in shape and learning how to do something new, things like that. I always think, I'll do that later. And if there's one thing, you know, here I am talking about how New Year's resolutions are dumb. If there's one thing I want to do in 2015, it's like, do the fucking work. Do the work that's going to make you become or give you the satisfaction of having done that work. The only way you're going to get that is by doing the work in your life. Do it. That's from the earlier Scott and I talking about Ultimate Warrior. So what's been going on? I hope you guys are having a good end of the year thing. What did I do for Christmas? Just family stuff. Not a whole lot to say there. I spent a lot of time on YouTube looking at fucking full-grown men fashioning headphones because I was very excited about Sennheiser Momentum headphones and the Sennheiser brand. And you do that thing where you buy something, you want to buy something nowadays, and you look at YouTube videos about it, and so I probably watched hours of fucking headphone videos, and it hadn't occurred to me how much of a fashion item headphones are. So when you look at the earlier models of Sennheisers, they were all like, you know, looked like industrial type headphones, and they didn't really put a lot of consideration into fashion of it. And then Beats came along, and the Sennheiser people were like, Jesus Christ, these people are eating our lunch. We better figure out how to make these things sound and look good, because apparently Beats aren't that concerned with how things sound. Although I hear the new ones, the Solo 2s are good. But so I bought the Sennheiser Momentum headphones myself. This was my December experiment, and I love the sound of Sennheiser Momentum headphones, and I did not like the way they felt. They just felt like they were constantly clamping down on my ears. Turns out that they're kind of small. These are the over-ear kind. There are also on-ear models, but I don't know why people buy on-ear headphone models. To me, as a guy with big ears, I don't want that shit on my ears. Constantly hugging your ears, being like, hey, did you forget about us? Did you get immersed in your music? Well, don't fucking worry about that shit, because remember, you have like a goblin squeezing your head, squeezing your ears, giving you those sweet, sweet sounds. I wonder If someone could do a clip show of every time I take a drink. There's this one guy on YouTube, like, he fucking drinks and smokes. And it's like, that's not necessary for your points. But, makes you look classier, I suppose. So, I returned Momentum headphones. Long story short, I bought fucking expensive headphones, didn't care for them, returned them, bought some other fucking expensive headphones, because here come these Sennheiser Urbanites. And I bought the Sennheiser Urbanite XLs, because they were on sale at Amazon for like $100 less than they usually go for. You can go fucking crazy looking at headphones on just like audiophile style headphones. Sennheiser has one model called the HD 800, $1,400 for these fucking headphones, and they look so comfortable. Like, it's just like a little pillow going up to your ears, comforting them, and they also play sound. And from what I've heard, you get like 90% of all that sound in like a $100 headphone. And then you have to pay $1,300 more to go the extra 10%, something like that. And people who are typically identifying themselves as audiophiles, you know, they have the gold wire. They buy their shit from Best Buy, their cables, and that's worth it to them. So I do recommend, if you're looking at headphones, the Urbanites XLs are pretty comfy. They're not absolutely, you know, I still feel like a little fatigued on the ears after wearing them for like an hour or so. So I have to take a break. But check those out if you're into spending dumb money on headphones. They're a bit bassier. I don't know if they're bassier or they just take off some treble. The YouTube community is kind of split on that. Are they emphasizing the bass? Or are they just merely diminishing the mids and trebles? More at 11. What else happened in 2014? Internet stuff. I've been reading this book called Nonviolent Communication. And I think this is what I wanted to talk about in general, just to get some ideas out in my head. Because nonviolent communication is, it's this book. I don't remember the guy's name, but it is about how to best communicate with people. And, you know, whether it's your spouse, your husband, if any of you are married to a husband, to your coworkers, to everybody in your life, and about how you should get over, like, being judgmental and bringing criticism right on the front of your of your communication. And just, you know, observe. What is the acronym? It's like observe, feel, state your needs, request what you want. Like, what do you need? What do you want to have happen as a result of this conversation? And I think I am reading this book, and everything in it makes complete sense, and I, like, agree with everything in it, and I think of moments in my own life where I'm thinking, like, I didn't do that the right way. And, or if someone's coming at me, like, being, I feel as though they're coming on a little harsh, and part of it's like, okay, how do I get through this? Because in order for us to accomplish anything, I have to pick out what they're actually saying. When they come at me and say I'm a fucking asshole, or I'm pissing people off, or I didn't do something they wanted to do, I have to come out and be like, okay, how do I resolve this? Because I still have to work with this person, or I still have to talk with them. No one at work has called me an asshole, as far as I know. At least not to my face. But I just use that as an example. I'm going through an example of that with the theater group I'm in. Just still trying to go through and figure out, okay, how there was one project where things weren't communicated correctly, or they weren't received correctly. and things got a little sidetracked, and project balls got dropped, things weren't delegated correctly, and supposedly people are over it, but they're kind of not over it, because they're stating plainly that they're over it. There was an interesting example in this book. I want to read it, because it was about how people will try to explain their actions, and they'll give you this, what is it? They'll give you the, all the reasons why, like, things weren't working out for them, or things weren't going the way they wanted to go, and they don't clearly state what they need, what their desire is. Let's see. Quote from this book, Nonviolent Communication, Language of Life, Life-Changing Tools for Healthy Relationships by Marshall B. Rosenberg. Quote, at one workshop, we discussed what happens to women who internalize such beliefs. These women, if they ask for what they want, will often do so in a way that both reflects and reinforces the beliefs that they have no genuine right to their needs and that their needs are unimportant. For example, because she is fearful of asking what she needs, a woman may fail to simply say that she's had a busy day, is feeling tired, and wants some time in the evening to herself. Instead, her words come out sounding like a legal case. Quote, you know, haven't had a moment to myself all day. I ironed all the shirts, did the whole week's laundry, took the dog to the vet, made dinner, packed the lunches, and called all the neighbors about the block meeting. So, imploringly, so how about if you... ... No! Comes a swift response. Her plaintive request elicits resistance rather than compassion from her listeners. They have difficulty hearing and valuing the needs behind her pleas, and furthermore react negatively to her weak attempt to argue from a position of what she should get or deserves to get from them. In the end, the speaker is again persuaded that her needs don't matter, not realizing that they were expressed in a way unlikely to draw a positive response. And I've... End quote. So I've seen... observed this happening in some parts of my life, where people will, like, come, they want something, but they're not clear in stating it. So they'll give you, like, the 5 or 10 reasons about things, and they're trying to, like, make it easier, but instead, and rightly so, people go, this fucking shit, as the sob story's going on, this fucking shit, how much I gotta listen to this shit? So... I think there's a little bit of that going on in my personal life. And even from me, I find myself struggling all the time with, like, how do I communicate things after... Here's an example. The elephant in the room of this is what happened between me and Chris this morning. And I don't know if he still listens to these things, and I haven't told you guys that... story or anything like that, or if Chris is listening, there's nothing I'm gonna say in here that's gonna be, like, offensive or anything. I think, him and I need to resolve things. Last thing I'll say about it is that maybe I shouldn't say anything about it. Maybe I should shut the fuck up. How about that, Dan? Let's leave this in 2014. There were things in that had I had the skills in this book back then, things might be differently right now. And, I still have to read this book to figure out what I'm really getting out of it. So I think about that a lot, like instances in my own life where someone's coming at you with a negative response or a negative comment, and you come at it with, like, one of defensiveness. First, most people, what they do, they start, it seems, from the sound of this book, they come at it like, I'm sorry, it won't happen again, so they, like, absorb the responsibility of the way the other person is feeling. And then what some other people do is they just go, fuck you, like that. Not just like that, but, and then, like, I guess the ideal thing to do is, like, accept it and construct the positive feedback of what is this person saying, even if they're kind of being a jerk about it, that I should take and interpret into what they want as an outcome. And that's very hard to do. I think a lot of people, myself included, are just shit at doing that. You know, if you come at me with saying, like, you're a piece of shit, and I come back to you and say, well, you're a piece of shit too, then nothing ever happens. Nothing constructive. This is why I fucking hate Twitter now. What happened that got me pissed off at Twitter and made me actually start using Facebook more? Twitter had this year this Gamergate thing. And it's not even that I keep up to date with, like, what's going on in video games or video game journalism or what the latest outrage is or anything like that. One time I was trying to make a joke and I used the hashtag Gamergate, and then I found myself, like, on tons of block lists because I had used the hashtag Gamergate, and I didn't even have a dog in the fight. Maybe I was making light of the situation. So I'm now on a block list where basically people can just mass, if you've followed so-and-so, or if you've used this hashtag before, you're just done. You'll never see what they post. You'll never be able to communicate with them. And these are sorts of the things that Twitter is supposed to be good for, right? And it shouldn't bother me at all. It's like, okay, some guy doesn't like what I have to say or doesn't want me to see his stuff because I'm on some sort of list, I'm blacklisted. But it's just like, you know, some of these people are people I've heard their names before, and, you know, they're all, like, in the internet community, if it's even a community. And it's like, now, you know, not like I was ever going to socialize with them, but I feel like a judgment has been made on me because of, like, who I followed on Twitter, or what I hashed, or some joke tweet I made that had nothing to do with any of it, really, other than using the hashtag. All of a sudden, I'm some evil fuck. So, the idea of the internet being, like, this place for ideas to come together, it's just not there. This year has made me think, like, maybe it will never be there. Because both sides of the debate, I think I talked about Gamergate at one point on this show, but it was like both sides were just like, I don't know, guys. I don't have a dog in this fight. It's just interesting to me, like, these proponents of free speech. I have the right to say what I want. They also have the right to not give a fuck and block me. And so, let's be adults about this. So it kind of made me think, well, if this is how it's going to be here, maybe I don't want to be here. I started using Facebook more again to just check in. And, you know, all my friends are there anyway. And I feel like Twitter has just devolved. And maybe it's always been like this, into this, like, network of elites. Which is, yeah, they have, like, what, 3 million users, but only, like, 2% of them, if that really matter. I'm not having conversations with people on Twitter. I'm getting followed by spam bots. I'm getting blocked by people who've never met me or have never even heard of me. And this isn't the kind of community I want to be a part of. So, and I guess when people hear that coming from some guy who might have used a hashtag or followed someone that they have a disagreement with, it's, and not even that I would agree with, you know? Just that they say some interesting things that I might not agree with, or most of the time don't agree with, but the fact that I would be like, okay, let's hear what this guy has to say, or this person has to say, then, boom, here comes the block hammer. It's not right. So the Twitter elite people have, I think, succeeded into making this just for them, because that's all that's going to be left. And, you know, as much as I complain about Facebook, or I did, I'm getting back into it because, you know, it is what people use, and if you craft your news feed the way that you want it to be, then it's a lot better, and it's not always just in your face, and you can make it into what you want it to be, you know, which is what you're supposed to use Twitter for. But the difference is, on Twitter, none of the people I care about are there, so move on. And the people I don't know don't fucking want to talk to me anyway, or anything like that. And now everything's public and searchable, and it's like, maybe this isn't good anymore. Maybe this isn't healthy anymore. So I started getting back into Facebook, using that, and I'm having a bit more respect and appreciation for Facebook than I did, say, 6 months ago. And a lot of it had to do with that, and a lot of it had to do with looking at it from, like, the ground up, like, well, they're doing... Toss aside the idea that that Facebook is fucking creepy, because, yeah, they are. They kind of are. But you know what? So is Twitter. So is every fucking web company on the internet now. They're all putting cookies on your computer. They're all tracking you across the web. They're all trying to target you and get ads relevant to you. And sometimes I find myself buying into it. I go, like, it's good that I saw that headphone ad, because I was in the market for headphones. And at least on Facebook, it's people I know. People who will stab you in the front of the chest rather than in the back. So what are you guys doing for New Year's? So friend me on Facebook. You ever notice, like, I think what's happened now that Facebook is getting better, quote, I feel like the only people left on Twitter are people who are, like, semi-anonymous or people who want to be famous. So people who are semi-anonymous, they can just be, like, say whatever the fuck they want because it's just a playground to them. And there's an element of that where, okay, that's welcome. And then everyone else is some kind of thought leader. And I fucking hate that shit. And it's not a place for your friends. It's not even a place for your interest anymore. If you guys followed interesting people on Facebook, on Twitter, there's this other site I've been using that just takes the stuff they post and sends me an email in the morning that says, here's what these people you like had to say. So I don't have to keep up with it all day. So that happened. New Year's. I hope you guys have a good New Year's. I understand you probably won't be listening to this until the weekend, if that. I'm going to go out. We're partying. We're going to do board games and drinking with some people. I'm drinking my bourbon. I should probably get packed up soon. Grown men reviewing headphones. That was the thing we talked about. Nonviolent communication. That was the thing we talked about. Facebook and Twitter, that's another thing we talk about, and New Year stuff. Hope you guys had a great 2014. Would love to, you know, I have some time off, so maybe I'll give you guys some calls. Wanted to talk with Scotty at least, and I know Joel was busy, and I got to figure out what to do with this curse thing, or what the next step there is. And happy 2014. Goodbye 2014, rather. Happy 2015, and I'll talk to you guys later.